When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero-guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no-shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can record a whole show off a little device that looks like a bomb.
It does look like a bomb.
They've been letting you travel the country with that thing in your luggage.
I know. We realize it's not the ideal, but you know what? I think it serves its little purpose, this little machine.
Yeah, I think so.
We put it on top of so that there's no echo, which we know there is echo. We put it on top of a face cloth.
Yeah.
That's how technological we are.
You know, I mean, it's amazing that we spend all this money on a studio and Jake and
that's right.
You're recording this on a washcloth with a mini bomb, detonating device. And I think, you know, people don't expect anything more from us than mediocrity. So this is really, you know.
You know what, Jillian? That's, I think, the key to this podcast.
I agree.
Is let's just accept things the way they are.
Yeah.
And not try to pretend we're anything but what we are.
I agree. I think that is the key. Painfully mediocre.
You're drinking tap water. You've had a to-go muffin. Painfully mediocre is what we are. Look at your nice little calm face, though. You had a little massage. See,
this is the calmest I've seen you. I went to the gym. I did a little workout. I went and got a massage, but it's the calmest you've seen me because poor Heidi is with the kids at her parents' house in Florida dealing with this all by herself, and they're all sick again.
Oh, no.
Again.
That's why you get sick.
I know, because the kids have been going to these children's museums, and I'm just praying to God she left in the nick of time. I'm praying to God that we don't all go down for the count.
But we wanted to say just how much we have appreciated and loved meeting.
That's so true.
So many thousands of people.
I feel like we have an inside joke with everybody that came to the show. And I'll put stuff on like Facebook or Twitter for them that I know that they're going to get.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, all right, you can't negate the other 2 million fans on your page, Jill. I feel like we have like an inside joke, and every show had an inside joke of its own.
Isn't that true?
There was, of course, Concord when we exploded a can of pesticide on the stage.
But we've had some technical things happen, but you know what?
It's been a blast, though, I think.
Live theater, I call it theater because it is theater. It's a show. Yeah. Live theater is, there's nothing like it. There's nothing like live performing.
No, there's not. And, you know, it's interesting because, like, the things that I have been posting on Facebook to kind of remind our little audience.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, hey, let's not forget what we talked about. Hey, don't forget this message. Hey, don't forget that message. And, you know, you had sent me this one and to post up there based on some of the things we talked about during the show. And it says, nothing ever goes away until it has taught us what we need to know. Mm-hmm. And it's very interesting to see a lot of the comments. People are saying things like, I've learned that people are liars. I've learned not to trust people. And we do talk a lot in the show,
right,
about taking responsibility. And then you, and why, which I'm going to address in a second, but then you and I were discussing, hey, maybe we should take and discuss some of the Q&A. Maybe I am a little tired.
I think.
Jeez, I thought it was just you, but now I guess it is me. Maybe we should go over some of the most asked Q&A from the live show. And so then you had another one about depression and injury, mm-hmm, and not being able to work out. And we have gotten a lot of those questions. And so I really, that triggered me to think about nothing goes away until you learn the lesson.
Right.
And, you know, we've also talked about this before with that whole Oprah analogy of, like, the universe speaks to you in whispers and, then it throws a brick at your head. And if you don't listen, the walls come down on you. But a lot of the responses from people who, not a lot, but some of the responses in the comments on Facebook from people who hadn't been to the show were saying things like, you know, I've learned everyone's a liar and I've been hurt. And it's very much a victim mentality. And I want to take a moment to acknowledge that there is no doubt there are moments in our lives where we are victimized by things that are unfair.
Right.
And, you know, people, I can't understand why God would take my child, or I can't understand why God, you know, like all these horrible things that have happened. And there is no, in all fairness, with those kinds of tragedies, it's very difficult to reason with or rationalize. But no matter what, I think the first thing I want to talk about, not a tragedy right now, but responsibility, the lesson. Whereas nothing goes away until you learn it.
Right.
And then I keep saying, like, I've learned horrible things about people. No. You are creating and repeating a dynamic where you're attracting people who are lying to you and disappointing you. The lesson for you is, why are you doing that? That's why it's not going away. This is why you continue to attract people that hurt you and lie to you and disappoint you, because you haven't learned the lesson about what is making you A, attract them, and B, engage with them, and C, trust them when I guarantee you know they're not trustworthy.
Right, right.
And so if we cannot look at these moments in our lives where we believe that we are victims of mean people or bad people, unfair circumstances. And again, I'm not going to talk about death right now. We're going to get to that in a second. Just, you know, this person lied to me. My boss is mean to me. That person never called me back. I've been so disappointed. Disappointment is a regular part of life. People are human. They disappoint us. That's just part of human nature, and we disappoint other people. But if you see a pattern where the lesson you've learned is that people are lying to you or people are untrustworthy, you need to stop wherever there's a pattern in your life that you feel victimizes you and ask what you are contributing to this. How are you engaging in this dynamic? Whether it is continuing to give the benefit of the doubt to people who are less than trustworthy, whether it is continuing to enter into relationships with people who are emotionally unavailable, what are you contributing? And why? And if you can't get to the bottom of why you're engaging in it, the most important thing is acknowledging the pattern.
Yep.
And then identifying the role you're playing as an active participant so you can learn the lesson and turn things around. There are many people in my life that I trust very much. Doesn't mean they might not disappoint me here or there, but my experience is not one that I can't trust people. That's that individual and a lesson they have to learn. Does that make sense, Janice?
It does. And you know why it kind of really hits home for me is part of the step process is an inventory. You do an inventory. Step four is an inventory. And that's the thing. You write down what happened. You write down what happened with who and how it affected you.
Oh, wow.
And then when you finish that, and you do this with someone who's knowledgeable. You know, you do that with someone who's knowledgeable. But when you finish that, then you find out what your part is in it.
Oh, see, right.
Right? And it's like, what do you mean my part?
Sure, no.
How can I have a part in that? How can I have a, and you know what? And if you dig, and it's exactly what you're saying.
It's
if
so
you dig
hard.
And you dig, and with guidance, because sometimes it's just too hard to see yourself, and that's why, you know, people have sponsors or therapists or priests, you know, some people turn to religious figures and to dig it. But you do have a part in it. You do, and that's the most that's when you hit that, when you talk about rock bottom, it can take you down.
Oh my God. Man. I know.
So it's exactly what you're saying.
And to be clear, I want to say, look, you're a small child. Your father's an alcoholic. He comes home, he beats your mother. And you say, it made me feel this way. However, when we get older and we continue to play out an abusive pattern with other people because we're trying to heal these wounds of the past, that's when you are contributing to the dynamic.
Exactly.
That's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
It's when we perpetuate being that kid, that victim in that room by continuing to play out that pattern and engage with other similarly abusive people. And that's exactly the thing. If you can't do that, by the way, then you will never be able to turn it around and change it.
That's absolutely true, because you'll never know, you'll never be able to recognize what it's triggering. You'll just keep going with your blinders on.
And you'll play out being that victim. And if you're a victim, then you're constantly coming from a place of life is happening to you. Instead
true.
Of ever being able to happen to life, instead
oh, true
of
is
ever
that.
Being able to take control. And when that, you know, my mom used to tell me, honey, when you see evil in the road, go the other way. You know, because I talk a little bit in some of our shows about a role that I played as a kid as the Avenger.
Right.
And, you know, the Avenger got hurt a lot and got into a lot of trouble. And, of course, my Avenger was like, I'm fighting back bad people doing bad things. It's not my fault they're bad people. This is the right thing to do is to say it's bad. But in actuality, I wasn't changing the person that was unhappy. I was just creating a huge mess for myself and hurting my life in the process.
Yep.
And then when I was able to go, oh, see, I'm fighting this fight with these old childhood demons and playing it out with this individual or that individual. And when I stopped allowing myself to be a victim of that pattern, and when I changed the dynamic and the Avenger went to the cooperator, that's when I was able to turn things around. And it's just, when it comes to tragedy too, because I know we've talked about this before, and I'm not saying I would be strong enough to do this, but ultimately, when we look at these horrible things that do occur, and you know, some people lose children, we all lose parents, horrible things happen, horrible things. We're robbed of years of our life. We come down with fatal illnesses, but there is a way to move through that, and there is a way to respond to it that will determine who you become and how you feel about the circumstance. So, you know, we talk a little bit during the tour about a contestant named Abby Reiche,
yep.
who had lost her entire family in a car accident. That is unfair. I mean, right there, you could, why did God do this to me? Why me? There's no reason for this. There's no logic for it. And the answer is no, there's not. So to survive it, we then have to make a choice to give it a reason. And so Abby's reason was, I'm meant to help other people going through similar tragedies. That's why this happened, because I'm a person that can endure it, and I'm a person that will be able to help other people going through this.
Mm-hmm.
So if you cannot get to a place where you are empowered and taking responsibility for your reactions to the things in life that happen are unfair, then I'm sorry to say they will continue to play out that way. And it will be your fault because of the choices you've made in response to them.
Mm-hmm. There's a great term they talk about a lot is, God gives us no cross we cannot bear.
Yeah.
And you know, and
I
you
wonder
talk about
that.
And you talk about Abby, you know what I mean? Like, that's a...
I almost said that, and then I changed my mind because I thought, you know what, maybe there are people that can't bear it. And there
you
are.
You know what?
It's a choice, I think, whether you do or not.
That's true.
I also don't think...
That's true, yeah.
I don't know, per se. Like, I remember listening to this one great sort of guru. His name was Ram Dass, and he hung out with the Timothy Leary crowd.
Okay.
And he had said that we are born and we die as many times as it would take a bird carrying like a scarf or a cloth in their mouth to fly over like Kilimanjaro and wear it down. with a scarf dragging on it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, whether you believe in reincarnation or not,
that's lovely,
or sometimes I buy into the fact that, like, we're all one energy. Like Carl Jung used to say, we're the collective consciousness. We're all splinters of God, like stained glass windows, so to speak. Like, you're a stained glass window and I'm a stained glass window. We might have different colors and different designs, but the light that shines through us is the same God.
Mm.
And so we're just expressions of the same God. And so it could be, you know, your individual soul maybe is born and dies a million times. It could be that our collective consciousness, whether it's, you know, all of God's creatures, human and so on, are born and die that many times. But even when I think we don't necessarily get it right in this particular life, I don't believe that the journey, whether it's for the individual soul or the collective consciousness, clearly doesn't end there.
Oh, I truly, I'm with you on that. I am, you know, so with you on that. I think there's... the journey continues, however, you know, you can,
because we're not going to get it all in this lifetime. I've met people that haven't. We're just not.
Yeah.
And I think that's sort of the goal, is like, this is one leg of the journey. We learn what we can, and what goes unlearned obviously is going to stay, whether it's, no matter how it manifests in our consciousness. But I just think in this life, I know this is the only one I'm experiencing as Jillian Michaels. And I would like to be happy.
Right.
Happier than I am sad. And I do know that's a possibility, even in the face of horrible tragedy and horrible adversity. I have seen people do it. I have met these kinds of people. Abby is one of those people. And I hope never to have to put my money where my mouth is with this lesson. Mm. God forbid I should lose, you know, Heidi or one of the kids. I really do, because I don't know that I could handle that cross to bear. I don't know that I'm that strong. But if it did occur, I would do my damnedest to try to give it a reason, some sort of tribute.
Yeah.
You know, like if I lost Lou, would it be fighting international adoption law around the world in a way that I'm not currently fighting it now? If it was Heidi, would it be, you know, a cause that she was so passionate about, following it up and bringing it to fruition? You know, if it was Phoenix, he's so little that there's no, you know, I don't know what it, but like, I'd find he loves animals, I can tell you that. Like, I would try to bring something beautiful into the world in their memory and in their name.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is the only way that we survive these things. And I also think there's a huge misconception when people go, why would God do that? And it's almost like it's a punishment.
Yep.
As though God is upstairs going, you, you, and you. And it's, I don't believe that. I just think it's life and it is unfair. And if there is some sort of omnipotent God expecting a response, I think this would be the response that he expects.
Mm. That's lovely.
Or she.
Yeah. Or
yeah.
Is she?
It. This is it. It has no sexuality, our
That's
God.
True. That's true.
Oh, we should break. We're deep and tired.
Man. We're deep and tired. We are.
You know what's going to happen? This is like, you know, an acid trip. That's how tired we are. We think we're so deep and so profound, and you're going to play this back, and we're going to sound like friggin' bumbling fools.
We're back.
Oh.
Now we're going to do something snappy.
Oh, I'm ready. You have a snappy question?
I do. Here's a snappy question. This was an easy... We're going to do the odd email question, because since we can't really talk to you with our mini microphone on the face cloth, the question...
We can't do calls.
We can't do calls in here.
Oh.
Question from Beth. Can high impact exercise or jogging, running, cause... Boob saggage. I didn't know there was such a word as boob saggage, but it does make sense. The boob saggage.
The boobs.
I know it can cause boob wiggling and bouncing.
You know what? I've actually gotten this question before. Because if you're larger busted and you're running around or jumping around, it can create that up and down movement or the side to side movement. And the reality is that over time, the repetitive up and down can be a factor that could contribute to sagging. But this also has to do with genetics, and you know, some women probably have stronger collagen. So the stronger your collagen, the less that's going to happen to you. You're going to stay up a little higher. But before you toss out like your running shoes and sign up for yoga, the key here is going to be the right. I can't believe I'm answering this. Is going to be the right sports bra.
It's true. And yeah,
because then it'll hold you all in there.
Yeah, and you know what? And we had that's so funny because we did have a question. Remember the one night, I can't remember what town it's in, but one night one girl wanted to know what kind of sports bras you used, and of course I laughed because
I don't really have that problem.
Right,
it's not a problem of mine.
Nor mine.
But, right. But if it is a problem, we've done a segment on sports bras.
We have.
Under Armour makes a nice sturdy one.
Yep.
Can't say it's the most flattering in that particular instance, but listen, you want something that gets the job done, that's what's going to get the job done. And remember that also nutrition can boost collagen production, so make sure to get a lot of vitamin C.
So collagen is what keeps us perky?
Yeah, well, yeah, the connective tissue as well, but yeah, it keeps us perky in the face, skin.
So would it not, because I know I'm very small-breasted, and being now in my 50s, I have noticed that even my small, little, tiny pinnacles are starting to go down a little bit. But I find if I work these muscles, you know what I mean? Like, these muscles helps, whatever these muscles are.
Pectoral
the
muscles.
The pectorals.
The chest muscles.
The chest.
Yes, you can do that.
To help lift.
But it's also connective tissue as well.
Okay.
And so that won't handle it all completely.
Okay.
So proper support is going to be the most effective thing you can do. And a diet full of antioxidants and things like vitamin C that make collagen and boost elasticity.
Wow. All right. What about boys? Do they have to worry about saggage?
Their boobs?
No, of their boy parts, like down there.
I don't know. Do we really even have to worry about that? That's not our problem.
No, but we need to care about it. I mean, I don't personally, but we should care. But they wear things. They wear cups, don't they? The men folk.
I don't know. I don't know. We'll have to ask Giancarlo the next time we see him.
Yeah, he'll know. Because he likes to talk about that area.
Yeah, but this is not our problem.
No, but don't we need to help the menfolk with things? Their area?
I don't think it's quite as prominent with regard to being as visual. And so, therefore, I doubt they care about that.
All right, I'm going to take that off the list.
I've never had a question about sagging testicles ever.
Oh, I didn't say the word. I never said the T word.
That is a very, what's the word? Appropriate word. It's a clinical word.
Then, rather than nutsack.
Ooh, now see,
that's
you went there now.
No, okay. So, no, not nutsack, but testicles. To me, testicles just sound wrong. But that's all right. You said it.
Clinical.
It's your show, and it's you said it. All right. So men don't need to.
No, I didn't. I was answering a question that you chose.
I'm just saying we're being
about boob sagging.
We're being a bit one-sided here.
Then you veered off.
No, I'm just saying
you
should care about
hard right.
All people. All we are a show.
You think I don't care about the men? Who do you think cares the most about boob saggage? It's not just women. It's men as well. They care about these things, and this is how I help them. I keep their women in the best shape of their lives. In fact, every boyfriend and husband should line up to thank me for the shape of their wife's ass. You're welcome, gentlemen. You're welcome.
That's true. I must admit, the men folk at the show have been very affectionate towards you.
Yeah, because have you seen their wives? You're welcome. Their wives come up, I work out with you every day, and it shows.
Yeah, and they're smiling.
Yeah,
it's very
they
true.
Give me a big hug and a
they
smile.
Do.
They pay their respects.
They do.
That's right.
Pay their
That's
respects.
Right. It's thanks to me.
Oh, my God, Jillian.
That wifey has got
That's
that
true.
Figure. I'm just saying.
All right. That's good.
Because I'm beating her in their living room at least 3 to 4, 5 times a week, some of those ladies.
Yes, they are, and they are, and they do
Don't
thank
tell me
you.
I don't consider their needs. I do consider their needs.
I just wanted you to care for their parts. That's all.
I just don't feel that we're experts in this category.
No.
Or that we're qualified to answer these questions.
No, we're not. We're really not. But we can care about the ladies' breasts, we can handle. But that's right. We're out of our league here. All right. Yeah. So now we're going to take another little break.
Okay.
Okay.
Going to do a little health segment.
Oh, hang on. Let me write that down. This is a health segment.
Yeah. Something health related.
All right.
Are you ready?
Yes, I am.
It's about foods that make us look tired and age us. Foods that affect our skin.
Oh.
Yeah.
Not just the drinking and carousing and debauchery.
Well, alcohol is on the list.
I'm sure it is.
But it's kind of interesting. I was thinking about this the other day.
Right.
You know, with cigarettes, for example. Oh. If every time somebody lit up a cigarette and smoked, and you saw the results immediately on the outside of your body, what's happening on the inside of your body, would you smoke as much? And
interesting.
Just because people are thin doesn't necessarily mean they're healthy.
And you've talked about that,
yeah.
The skinny fat.
And you can still get very, very sick. Because at the end of the day, this isn't about, you know, skinny jeans are wonderful. I would love for you to feel great about your body and be in fantastic shape. Exercise is the number one form of preventative medicine. And I like to say to people, whenever you put something in your mouth, you're either feeding disease or fighting disease. But again, it doesn't manifest right away. And I don't think they appreciate it. You know, I see kids eating crap and, you know, they're young. They're not overweight and they don't worry about getting cancer or heart disease when they're 20.
Right.
And, you know, and so on. So I thought maybe if I could hit them where it hurts. With their skin, their face. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay.
Because that does hurt.
Yeah. Okay. Too much salt. Yeah.
Too much salt.
Too much salt. And here's why. Because high sodium diets dehydrate us, and they dry out our skin, and they make us look way more tired than we actually are.
Well, you get puffy. Don't you get puffy with too much salt?
But your skin will get really dry.
Oh, okay.
Because it pulls all the moisture out of the skin. So you want to go for the low sodium alternative.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Artificial sweeteners, people.
Mm.
Blue packets, pink packets, yellow packets, saccharin, aspartame, sucralose.
Now, colored packets. That's right. How true is that? Colored packets.
Aspartame is really bad, associated with all kinds of things, which messes up our everything. God, it causes joint pain. It causes messes up the appetite center of the brain. But in addition, it promotes inflammation, which can make you look really puffy.
Again,
yes,
with the face.
Yeah. Alcohol, of course, everyone knows this. You know, well, first of all, it dehydrates the hell out of you, so it can make you look really tired, and it can kind of sap the glow from your skin. Anything more than one glass of wine with dinner can seriously dehydrate you.
What, really?
Yeah. I try to, that's why, like, Arnold Schwarzenegger before competitions used to drink a glass of red wine to squeeze out any water weight left the night before.
Oh my God,
yeah.
Really?
Bodybuilders used to do that, or maybe they still do. Can you imagine contestants before a weigh-in? I'm going to have a glass of wine. Squeeze out that water. That'll be next. Watch. That'll be next. But yes, my new thing though is I've decided I'm not allowed to have more than 2 drinks a week maximum. But since we've gotten back from India, I've only had 2 glasses of wine.
I can't believe even when the crew or anybody wants to do a drinky poo, you don't do it.
No. I decided I want to be like really lucid. And I also have a bunch of shoots coming up when we get home, so I want to be fit for that. Plus, alcohol contributes to breast cancer, and I am an estrogen-dominant female, so I really wanted to kind of chill that out a little bit.
What does it do? What would it do, like, to your, like, if you had a night of debauchery, drinking and debauchery, what would happen to your, like, because you have really good abs, like, what would happen to your body? What happens to your body?
Once, nothing. If I drink Like, if I make alcohol a part of my diet, right? Like, hey, we're going out for a burger and I'm having a beer. Oh, on Friday night I had a glass and a half of red wine with my pasta. Like, if I have more than four, let's say four drinks a week. If I have four drinks a week, oh my God, there's 5 pounds I put on that don't come off.
Oh, seriously?
Oh, yeah. That's the biochemical effect it has on my body.
Oh, wow.
When I stop drinking, I drop like 5 pounds in a couple of weeks. Absolutely. Every time. It doesn't have the same effect on everybody, but I'm already an estrogen dominant female, so it's really bad.
Wow. Yeah. I didn't know I had that kind of effect on you.
Yeah.
All right.
Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Fried foods.
Yeah.
And that's because these foods are packed with trans fats. And while we are banning trans fats, they have been banned. It's not fully banned yet. I need to do my homework. And as in, I think there's a date that it has to be out of the food supply. And they're just going to turn to fractionated oils, I'm sure.
I've never heard that term before, fractionated oils.
It's all a matter of processing food.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's things they do to the fats, like hydrogenated oil. They add a hydrogen atom so the food doesn't decompose on the shelf. But whenever you F with the molecular structure of fat, it's extremely bad for the human body. The reason trans fats and fractionated oils are bad is because, of course, they clog the arteries and stiffen blood cells, which makes your skin look dull and tired.
Right.
Yeah. Ugh. Huh? Mayonnaise?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Huh? Okay, processed cold cuts. The preservatives in these cold cuts cause inflammation in the skin, making us look sallow and tired, like nitrites and nitrates.
Yeah.
Talk about that, of course, a little bit in the show for a minute or two. Mm-hmm. This one bums me out. I don't know that I can get behind this one entirely, but I have noticed it. Spicy foods, and while they're good for the metabolism and good for your health, are not necessarily good for the skin. I almost debated not telling you guys. But it's because it can cause an uneven skin tone or dilated blood vessels. So this doesn't happen to everybody, but it did start to happen to me. When I'll have spicy food, I'll get little red dots on my face, like a little rash.
Like rosacea?
Yeah, like little red dots. That, and when I'm really stressed out, instantaneously my face will break into like a little rash, little red dots.
Well, that makes sense, because years ago I got rosacea really, really badly, and I had to go to a dermatologist, and he told me, no, again, no spicy food, no tea, no alcohol, all those things that will bring that, make your body temperature heat up.
Yeah.
And then it comes out. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, and rosacea is not fun. Just so you know, it's not fun.
No.
It's awful.
Terrible.
Yeah. It's awful.
Why would God do that to you?
I don't know. It's some kind of lesson I had to learn.
Yeah? We brought it around. Look at us looping back in.
Oh,
did you color your hair?
I did color my hair. I did it myself. What do you think? I did a pretty good job, don't you think? I did it in the hotel room all by myself.
I feel like we should make Chloe do this from now on. Maybe the next time. We still have a few more shows left, everybody. We still have LA at the end of May, and we have New York and Montreal at the end of April, the 26th and the 27th. We have Anaheim also at the end of May. So maybe we'll have Chloe fix this.
I thought I did a hell of a job. I was very careful in the hotel room because I didn't want to get in trouble.
Yeah.
You have to admit I did a good job.
Sure.
You're just mad at the cut, but when
No, it's like a cherry brown.
It's cherry wood.
Is it cherry wood?
Cherry wood. And,
yes,
and
it is. It's cherry wood.
By the way, our LA shows are not the end of May. They are in the middle of May.
They are? When
the
are they?
The 16th and 17th. Of May.
We have one in Anaheim.
You're thinking of Anaheim on the 16th, LA on the 17th. You're thinking it's the end of April. That's Montreal
and New York. New York is the 27th of April.
Yes.
And Montreal is the 26th. All the VIP tickets are sold. Yeah. That's the thing. You guys gotta hurry and get your seats, because then people get on Facebook and they're like, they're all gone. And I'm like, how long have we been talking about this? How long? So if you want to go. Montreal's almost sold out, so act on it quickly. New York, LA, and Anaheim. I think LA is halfway sold out.
It will be.
And New York is halfway sold out, because we haven't done a big press push on it yet. So get on it, guys.
Yeah.
We want to see you.
Okay, so these are, there's a, definitely a common thread to when we do the Q&A, some of the questions we were given. And one, I have noticed that gets, this is just about you. This isn't about them, this is about you. What a piece of advice would you give your 20-year-old self? And sometimes it's even younger, they'll say your teenage self.
Teenage self.
What would you tell, what would you tell teenage Jillian?
God, I think a couple of things. The first one is that whatever you're going through gets better.
Good, true.
You know, no feeling is permanent. Mm-hmm. That's what my mom always says to me. It gets better. We work through it. This too shall pass. And whenever you're going through something awful, especially as a young kid, I think you believe there's no end in sight.
Yeah.
And that's obviously not the case. And of course, the things you're going through now, I would tell my younger self, the things I was going through at that time, were going to make me the woman that would become successful down the road.
Right.
You know, had I never been the kid that was overweight and picked on, I wouldn't be able to do the job that I do today.
Did it, but did it, I shouldn't be asking questions, but did it instill a kind of fight back response in you?
Like it definitely made me fight for the underdog. I definitely identify with the underdog. But it definitely created an empathetic response, but not a sympathetic response, because I realized that sympathy is an acknowledgement of the other person's incapability. Oh, poor you. Just take the stairs, you weak, sad, sorry little thing. Empathy is, wow, I'm sorry. The things that happened to you, that's awful. Now, these are our choices. Curl up in the corner and die, or pick yourself up by the bootstraps and let's fight your way out of this corner. You can do it. Let's go. So, you know, there's a big difference. And I think that without having gone through those things, I would never have identified with the underdog in the way that I do. And I don't believe I could have helped them in the way that I can help them, because I have been there. Mm-hmm. And I know what works to help you get out of there, that corner, so to speak. Another thing I would tell myself, I remember at a young age, I feel like we've talked about this before on the show. I remember reading another woman had said this, which she would have told her younger self, and it struck me. I used to think I had all the answers in life, as in, like, this is right and this is wrong and it's clear cut and cut and dried. And I can honestly tell you that there's almost every issue, other than a civil rights issue of treating people equally, people having equal rights, that I can see both sides of the coin. Whether it's gun control, I can see it becomes a chicken and an egg kind of situation. You want to get the guns off the street, but then, you know, but then it's like, I'll tell you right now that I do have a safe with a gun in it next to the bed, because I'm like, well, there's lunatics out there with guns. I have to have a gun. So it's like, you know, and I've got two babies and, you know, there's no big guy in the house. And so it becomes like, I can see both sides of every argument now. You know, I can see both sides of every argument, every single argument. I really can. And at a younger age, I wasn't able to see that. I thought that I knew the right way. I mean, you name it, death penalty, abortion, I can completely understand. And I think that a solution lies somewhere in the middle. Right. You know, like, even I don't propose to know what it is, but let me tell you, after having Phoenix, and seeing him at 8 weeks old moving around in Heidi's stomach, it has messed with, you know, I used to believe in a woman's right to choose solely. I thought it was the only answer. Now I would say there's got to be a time frame. There's exceptions if the woman is raped or molested or the condom broke, you know. But if you're using, and I don't want to get into that, I don't want to be too political. Right. All I'm saying is I see both sides of the coin. And I would tell my younger self, who thought that I knew it all and thought that the world was black and white, that I was missing out on a tremendous amount of wisdom. And even if I don't agree, to appreciate the other person's perspective will really help me in the long run to cooperate and collaborate with other people. And let's not forget there are like 7 billion of us on the planet.
Right.
So I would have, like, don't think you know it all. Don't think your way is the only way, because it isn't. Even with weight loss, there are a million different ways to lose weight. I just try to give you the way that I think is the simplest and the easiest.
Mm-hmm.
You can lose weight being vegan if you count calories. You can lose weight being paleo if you count calories. You can lose weight being gluten-free if you count calories. You can lose weight eating 800 calories. You can lose weight eating 1,200 calories.
Right.
You can lose weight doing,
right.
You know, you got to pick the one that works for you.
Yeah.
And so I think, don't presume that you know it all. I remember I read something once and it was like, learn everything you can learn and then throw it all away and open up your mind again tomorrow. And the things mm-hmm. that stick with you will stick with you and affect you, but continue to stay open. Things change. The world changes. Stay open. That's how we evolve and how we grow and how we continue to make new connections. That would probably be, for me, the two greatest pieces of advice would be a little comfort that it gets better. And in fact, is going to pay off.
Yeah.
And in that, to keep an open mind. And I guess last but not least, and this is a lesson that I haven't fully learned yet, is patience. And I think I'm getting there. I had this epiphany the other day about why certain things haven't happened and why haven't I gotten to this benchmark and other peers have gotten to that benchmark. And I realized that it's just not, I'm not ready. Either I'm not ready as a person. And when I got back from India and I was thinking about wanting a talk show, I was like, wow, there was so much in me that did need a shift before being able to go out and give people the best that I have to offer. So I was glad about that. And I also just think the climate might not be right. You can't see the forest through the trees. You know, daytime is a next to impossible medium. Very few people are succeeding in it. Mm-hmm. And I started to appreciate that. I think there are some interim steps before I go into that medium to help people that don't listen to our podcast go, wait a sec, there's more to this. And, you know, we can talk about more than fitness. It's not just about fitness. So patience. And I think the key to patience is understanding that while you think you're ready, the universe is lining up. So that it can't just be you that's ready. The world has to be ready for you.
Wow. Ooh. Wow.
You got to be ready for the opportunity, and then the world has to be ready for you.
But how you just said something that I think that I've seen a change in you is that you said you used to be looking at benchmarks that your peers had reached or had already passed.
Yeah.
And I think what I'm finding is and I think part of since you've come back from India too is you're letting go of those benchmarks. That's their benchmark. It's not Jillian Michaels' benchmark.
I know, and I work on that every single day. But like when I was reading about Chelsea Handler and how she was probably going to go to CBS, and like, A, as a woman, I'm thrilled. I would love to see a woman in late night. I know you feel the
right,
same.
Right, yeah.
Break up the boys club a little bit. But, you know, she is, I think she's my age.
I think so.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure we're like almost exactly the same age. And I was like, why am I not... still haven't made that transition properly. And I was like, oh, you know, I can, you know, we do the live tour, we do the podcast, I write my books, but in TV, it's been, we all know, everyone's heard me bitch about it. It's been really hard. And I just was like, you know what? Me as a person, I wasn't maybe ready to give it everything I needed to give it with regard to my vulnerability and my transparency. And then at the same time, maybe the world is not ready for this medium in this way. And I do think that there are some stepping stones I need to hit before going from A to Z. It's just, it's not there yet. And I haven't got, I'm not there yet. Hopefully one day.
Oh God. Yes. Yes.
No, I'm happy. But
no, I know you are.
I won't lie. Everybody knows that I do wish there was a television platform because that is the predominant way people still digest their media. That's why I say TV, where we can talk about the things we talk about here.
Yeah.
You know, even though I do love, like, again, it's like the things, it's the podcast is interesting. It's like a little, we're like a little clan, a little tribe. And the people, even when we're at the shows, you can tell who listens to the podcast because they know all the inside jokes mm-hmm. and they know you the minute you walk out, and they get it in a way that people who don't listen,
true,
they're just like, wait, what's happening here during the Q&A? It takes them a second.
Yeah.
And then, like, you know, by the end of it, they're sold. But at first they're like, wait, who's, what's happening? Why? You know, wait,
why?
Yeah. Wait, what is so going
funny.
On? But,
that's
you know,
funny.
There's definitely like, we definitely have, I think, like an inside joke. We're definitely like a little clique with this podcast. It's interesting.
Yeah.
It's really nice.
No, I like it too. I like it too.
Oh.
I do.
Oh,
I do.
Man.
It's been fun.
you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger. I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.